Health talk by those who care. Have a health question or comment? Let us know at Jay County Hospital. Health talk by those who care.
Welcome to Health Talk by Those Who Care. I'm Christy Henry, your community health educator here at Jay County Hospital. I'm glad you've tuned in to Health Talk today. Health Talk is sponsored by the Jay County Hospital Foundation. Each week, we will discuss your health questions, check out the latest fitness tips, and share a healthy recipe provided by the registered dietitian from the Jay County Hospital Nutritional Services Department. Now, if you have a question, you can email me at khenry@jaycountyhospital.com, and I'll get your question on the air. Don't go away. We have great things to share in the next few minutes.
Health Talk is sponsored by the Jay County Hospital Foundation. Thank you for making a difference in Jay County and the surrounding communities.
May is National High Blood Pressure Education Month, and I wanted to give some information on blood pressure. Blood pressure is a measurement of the force applied to the walls of the arteries as the heart pumps blood through the body. The pressure is determined by the force and amount of blood pumped, and the size and flexibility of the arteries. Blood pressure is continually changing depending on activity, temperature, diet, emotional state, posture, physical state, and medication use. Blood pressure readings are measured in millimeters of mercury, and usually given as two numbers. For example, 110 over 70. The top number is the systolic blood pressure reading, and it represents the maximum pressure exerted when the heart contracts. The bottom number is the diastolic blood pressure reading, and it represents the pressure in the arteries when the heart is at rest. In adults, the systolic pressure should be less than 120, and the diastolic pressure should be less than 80, which gives a reading of 120 over 80 or less. According to the American Heart Association, nearly 1 in 3 U.S. adults has high blood pressure, and that includes 2/3 of people over the age of 65. But because high blood pressure does not have physical symptoms, many of these people go untreated, and the high blood pressure is uncontrolled. Uncontrolled high blood pressure can lead to stroke, heart attack, heart failure, kidney failure, and even damage to the eyes. And this is why high blood pressure is often called the silent killer. The only way to tell if you have high blood pressure is to have your blood pressure checked. And if you haven't had your blood pressure checked in a while, make an appointment now. In 90 to 95% of high blood pressure cases, the cause is unknown. And in the remaining 5 to 10%, factors that may lead to high blood pressure are a kidney abnormality, a structural abnormality of the aorta, and this may have been existing since birth or narrowing of certain arteries over time. Fortunately, these problems can usually be corrected under a physician's care. There are many different medicines that can be used to treat high blood pressure. Your doctor may also tell you to exercise, lose weight, and follow a healthier diet. If your blood pressure is normal, you might be able to prevent high blood pressure and its complications by making some simple lifestyle changes. Stop smoking and avoid secondhand smoke. Lose weight if you are overweight. Women should limit their alcohol intake of beer, wine, or mixed drink to one drink per day, and men to two drinks per day. Exercise moderately 30 to 45 minutes most days of the week. Your breathing and heartbeat should be faster than usual, but you should be able to talk easily. Reduce salt intake to 2,300 milligrams per day, which is about 1 teaspoon, and this includes the salt in processed foods and what you add at the table. Eat at least 2 cups of fruits and 2.5 cups of vegetables each day. If you have high cholesterol, lowering your cholesterol level will help lower your risk of high blood pressure. And if you have diabetes, keeping your blood sugars under good control can also help lower your risk. The best way to control high blood pressure is to find out that you have it. Scheduling an appointment with your doctor if you haven't been there for a while, or just to get a checkup to see how things are going, is recommended. And this is your minute to be fit. making your walk a workout. As one of the simplest exercises, walking requires no equipment aside from a good supportive pair of walking shoes. Exercise doesn't have to be hard to be effective. The recommended 30 minutes can be broken up into 2 15-minute sessions or even 3 10-minute sessions, making it easy to weave into a busy lifestyle. Weight loss isn't the only benefit of a walking program. Regular walking helps lower cholesterol, reduces the risk of type 2 diabetes, increases bone strength, and improves circulation. Just a few extra steps each day is a simple and easy way to take an active role in maintaining a significantly healthier life. Check with your doctor before starting any new exercise program, especially if you've been inactive for a while. To start your walking program, the first thing you want to do is establish a baseline. If you've been sedentary, start walking 3 times a week at a stroll for 20 minutes. Work your way up to 5 or so times a week, 30 minutes each session, for a total of 2.5 to 3 hours a week. Another thing when starting a walking program is to check the intensity. Exercising at a particular heart rate percentage enables you to gauge the difficulty of your workout. You can check your heart rate by manually checking your pulse or purchase a simple heart rate monitor. Keep in mind, however, that the traditional heart rate formula standards do not fit everyone. Most recommendations suggest starting out at 70 to 75% of your maximum heart rate, but this may not be enough if you're already fit. Another way to gauge your exercise intensity is to use the talk test. If you can string together 6 to 8 words or chat briefly, you're in your aerobic zone. But if you find yourself gasping for air, you might need to lower the intensity. If you can say several phrases in one breath, you may not be working out hard enough. Here are 5 simple ways to keep your walks interesting and to help you stay motivated. Number 1, wear a pedometer. Bit by bit, boost your daily steps. Wear a pedometer for a week and see what days you have the most number of steps. Then you can try to repeat the activities of that day and add another 500 steps the following week. Keep it up until you reach 10,000 steps a day. Number 2 is keep a walking journal. It serves as a motivator by allowing you to see your progress. Number 3 is get a walking partner. A walking buddy provides accountability. Neither wants to let the other person down. Number 4, sign up for a race or a charity walk. It gives you a goal to shoot for, which may motivate you to stick with the program. Number 5, find support online. Programs such as the American Heart Association's StartWalkingNow.org program have helped thousands of people to get started walking. This is designed by the American Council on Exercise, and it's a free online program that includes a monthly newsletter with health tips and recipes, an online activity and nutrition tracker, access to an online journal, as well as the ability to connect with others for support and motivation. A search option also allows you to look for walking paths in your area. You simply go online, register, and take a quiz. You'll receive a 12 to 16 week downloadable program. Beginners start with 5 to 10 minutes, and advanced exercisers will start with more challenging options. If you're already fit, walking may seem too easy, but it's easy to kick up the intensity for a more challenging workout, and here's how. Speed up. The easiest way to up the ante is to simply walk faster. You may even want to try race walking, which uses more muscles and therefore burns more calories. Brisk walking at 4 miles an hour burns 334 calories, while strolling at 3 miles per hour burns 221 calories. Remember to pump your arms, but keep the movement compact. The larger the arm swing, the harder it is to move them faster. Another way to bump up your workout is to head for the hills. Walking up hills also increases intensity, as does lifting the incline on a treadmill. Change the surface. Consider changing your walking surface for a greater challenge. Walking on trails and maneuvering around rocks increases muscular demand. Snow, sand, and even grass makes walking more of a challenge. You can add resistance with a weighted backpack or a weight vest. If you use a backpack, fill it with water, sand, or even kitty litter so the weight distributes evenly. If you're ready to begin a walking program, here are 8 safety tips. to keep in mind when you walk outdoors. Walk with a buddy whenever possible. Carry your name, address, and a friend or relative's phone number in your shoe or tied to a lace. Wear a medical bracelet if you have diabetes, an allergy, or another condition. Carry a cell phone and let a friend or relative know your walking routes. Avoid deserted or unlit streets, especially after dark. Do not use headsets that prevent you from hearing traffic, and make sure you walk against oncoming traffic. Wear reflective material, or you can carry a flashlight so that others can see you. Carry a whistle or a noisemaker or pepper spray just in case of an emergency. And above all, make walking fun, and you'll be more likely to stick with it. Your recipe for the week is slow cooker salsa chicken. This recipe makes 8 servings, 1 cup of chicken, plus 1/2 cup of brown rice. This takes 15 minutes to prepare and 6 to 8 hours to cook in a crock pot or a slow cooker. Ingredients: 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breasts, 2 tablespoons of taco seasoning, and you can use the low-sodium variety, 1 cup of low-sodium petite-diced canned tomatoes with juice, 1 medium onion, finely diced, which is about 1 cup, 1/2 cup of finely diced celery, 1/2 cup of shredded carrots, 1 cup of salsa, homemade or purchased, and 3 tablespoons of reduced-fat sour cream, or you could use plain Greek yogurt. Directions: place the chicken in a slow cooker and sprinkle the taco seasoning over the meat, and then layer the vegetables and salsa on top. Pour 1/2 cup of water over the mixture, set it on low, and cook for 6 to 8 hours. The meat is cooked when it shreds, or it reaches an internal temperature of 165 degrees. When ready to serve, shred the chicken with 2 forks and then stir in the sour cream. You can make this a meal by dishing it up with a whole wheat tortilla and mixed greens, or serve it with brown rice, low-fat cheddar cheese, and bell peppers. Per serving, this recipe provides 165 calories, 2.5 grams of total fat, 68 milligrams of cholesterol, 253 milligrams of sodium, 7 grams of total carbs, 2 grams of fiber, and 28 grams of protein. To find this recipe on our website, please visit www.jcountyhospital.com.
Thank you for listening to Health Talk by Those Who Care. Remember, if you've missed any part of our show, you can listen to it on our website at jcountyhospital.com. We look forward to talking to you next week, and until then, here's to your health.
Health Talk by Those Who Care. Have a health question or comment? Let us know at Jay County Hospital. Health Talk by Those Who Care.